there's a beginning. And that.
You're listening to 108.9 FM. Adjust your frequencies, fine-tune your mind and brains as you prepare to fall through the trap.
The universal dream is a dream of magic.
You're listening to another episode of 108.9 Trapdoor Radio. I'm so happy and so thankful that if you're listening to this, it means you've tuned your radio frequency dials in to listen to the sawdust pour from out of the cavity inside my skull and find its way through the airwaves into your minds. My name is Lloyd Barnes. Thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode. This week, we're going to cover some interesting things. We're going to start off, like last week, with the section that I'm renaming Magic Caviar. This is a little section where I want to talk about not my own stuff, but other magic products or projects or interesting things to do with like consumerism in the magic world. Then we're going to talk about sort of what I've been up to this week. And if unless you've been not following me or Craig, which probably means that at least in our little community, you've been living under a rock or a holiday. It's been everything to do with the Savant deck. And I'm not going to talk about the Savant deck. If you want to go and learn about that, you can go and watch the trailer of things. But I thought I would share with you instead a routine that we didn't teach, or I didn't teach on the project because we were trying to keep it tight. So I thought I would actually just teach you what that routine is. You're just going to learn how that works, essentially. Not the full workings of the deck itself, but just the routine that wasn't included. Then in the magic musing section of the episode this week, I'm going to talk to you about how to put together a lecture in a way that takes into consideration your audience. Because I know a lot of people, when they try to put together a lecture, they just think about what are the best tricks they can teach, and they often don't think about literally what their audience can see or perceive or be aware of. So we'll talk about that a little bit for the magic musings. And then I had four questions, I think, left over that I didn't quite get in time for last week's episode from listeners that have been tuning in. So I'll cover those really quickly. So that's the lineup for today's show. We're going to try and keep it to an hour. I'm going to start off with a magic caviar, the magic caviar section. Something new, one or two new things that I think that may interest a lot of you out there. And I'm going to start off with a little story. And we were, my friend Harry Harrington, Lord Harry is his performing name. He's another fellow Welsh musician. Well, me and him went along to the Michael Amar lecture. We were chatting away up in the car all the way from Wales into England, into Bristol. And as always, you know, start showing, oh, hey, I've been working on this. Hey, I've been doing this. Oh, hey, I picked this up the other day. I've been doing this. This is by so-and-so. And Harry was like, oh, let me show you this thing. And he said, Lloyd, I'm going to ask you in a moment to name a playing card. So I was like, all right, cool. Five of spades. And he was like, sweet, let me show you. And then as he did this, his phone goes off and it was his Ring doorbell. Let me answer this real quick. And yeah, so he opens his Ring doorbell and the postman's there, the delivery guy's there, and he's like, "Hiya, mate, sorry." He's like, "Can you just leave it in the porch or whatever it is?" And he's like, "Yeah, no worries." He's like, "What is it?" And the delivery guy held up a five of spades. And it was like, "What?" Now, maybe it's me, right? And imagine what I'm thinking. Maybe it's me, but I have a Ring doorbell. That little jingle of dun 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 going off in the middle of performance has happened to me for realsies. So I did not think, first of all, it lulled me into a false sense of security, because in my day-to-day life, that's a regular occurrence. So when that happened, I was like, oh, okay, shit, we better stop the trick. And then he's going to continue it. And then it was like an actual genuine kicker when it was revealed as the card. And I was like, what the hell, man? That was actually sick. So he did that. And then I was like, do you know what? Anyone that's listened to me in the past would know that I generally don't like that type of magic. And I always try and find ways to pick it apart, that to say why it wouldn't suit me. For example, the classic card to phone app where you pull the folded card off your screen. for years I was like, oh, you know, I like my magic apps. I like it where they're the vehicle, not the destination. You know, I've always said that. And then, you know, I hold my hands up and say I was wrong. Like 6-7 years ago, I thought, oh my God, it sounds like somebody was going to shoot someone outside my house. There was a motorbike. I had this app on my phone and I did it because I had nothing else on me. And I produced a £5 note at a local bar. And sure as shit, it gets like the best reactions. It's so powerful. So I have to be like, look, I'm defeated. These apps do have a place. Well, anyway, Hive forms this to me. And normally, you know, it's not the type of thing. Because when I talk about vehicle and destination, I don't like my reveal to be on the phone. Like, where people can attribute it to being some sort of a special thing with the phone. I like the phone normally just to help you in some way, like by doing a mental calculation for you or something like that, whatever, right? But it completely got me. It caught me off guard. I didn't think it was an app. And the reveal was fun. It was his delivery guy showing the card. So that happened at the Michael Amar lecture that I went to a couple of weeks back in Bristol. Fast forward to 2 weeks ago when I first did the first episode here and I was heading out to the streets of Cardiff to go and shoot with Jake Keane and Harry Harrington. And Harry was performing Jake's effect on the street because Harry's a really seasoned performer. Me and Jake are more of creators. Well, we're comfortable performing. We don't do gigs, so we're not really in our element approaching strangers to show them what we can do. We're, you know, another discussion for another day. But Harry's dope at it. So Harry goes up, starts warming up the crowd. And he does an effect. He asks the participant to name a card just as he's about to start, like, you know, say, okay, watch this. His room doorbell goes off on his phone. And he's like, oh, shit, sorry. And everyone at the table's like, oh. Answers the ring doorbell. And the delivery guy reveals the named card. And it got screams. It got people, like, freaking out. They didn't, you know, sometimes we think so deeply about our magic, like, oh, well, you know, they might just attribute it to being a magic app, or they may, it's got to be it has to be the vehicle. I'm paraphrasing myself, I'm imitating myself here saying this. But ultimately as well, that it is just a fun fucking piece of magic. It's awesome. And so anyway, it's something you could buy. It's by a magician. I've met him briefly at Blackpool this year, I want to say. I think it was this Blackpool, possibly the one before. They all kind of blend into one at some point, Blackpools do. But the effect, and you're probably all going like, Lloyd, just tell us the name of the fucking effect. The effect is called, and I have it here on my computer so you can see it. If you're watching on YouTube, then you can see it on screen. It's called The Unexpected Delivery by Gary Cross. You can go to magicgazx.com and pick it up. It is £60, so it is a little bit on the slightly higher side, but then, I mean, compared to what there are, like, the new I Unlock Your Mind is like £300 again. There are other apps out there that are £1,000, you know, of those ones that use like AI overlays and stuff. So, I mean, £60 really isn't a lot. But I gotta say that I've spent a lot more money on apps that get a lot worse reactions, even when they're performed by brilliant performers. A lot of these apps out there are the ones that people like me go, oh, well, that's more like my type of thing. This actually, it's loads of fun. And from what I've been shown and what I've looked into with it as well, it's got some cool things. Like, for example, obviously we're magicians. We know what's happening. But I don't think anyone's going to be annoyed by saying, obviously, like, the delivery guy is at not your house, right? But it doesn't matter because people don't know. Which, obviously, when I went and watched it on the streets and everything, and I know Harry, me and Harry go way back. I didn't know what his house looked like, so I just assumed it was that. It's not your house. It is a pre-recorded set of videos, right? But proof's in the pudding. Completely free past me. I've known Harry for 10 years. Same for all the people I perform for. Also, don't overthink your magic too much. But the thing that I thought was really nice is that there's also, there was a night time. So there was all the videos were in night form. So if you perform it in the day, the delivery driver would be in the day outside your house, air quotes, bunny ears. And if it was night time and you perform it at a bar at night, it would be a nighttime videos, which I thought was really, really, really clever. So yeah, there's also, you can see Harry and Gary performing it on screen right here. And yeah, I just think it's really good. It's also, it was on the Wizard product review on the 4th of June as well. So I don't even know what the review was. I can imagine it got a really good review because, you know, I tend to think that the guys on the Wizard product review have a good understanding and they tend to like pretty much the same stuff that I do. And to me, yeah, the Unexpected Delivery by Gary Cross is definitely part of this week's Magic Caviar section. I thought it was really good. I can't speak for whether the videos work for in American audiences, because the delivery driver has a British. It is Gary actually in the videos, and he's British, so I don't know if they work for that. But I just wanted to highlight this. I thought it was really cool. First of all, I experienced it as a spectator, and it was lovely because. And I've spoken about this at length, but some of the most deceptive methods are naturally built in mistakes or awkward moments. I remember years ago when me and Daniel Madison were working on a project called Switch, and I can't remember. So somebody please leave a comment down below. But what it was all about switching playing cards. One of the methods that either made it into the public release, and it either did or didn't, but there were two methods. One was to switch the deck. One was to switch a playing card. The method that I use, and I've been doing it, God, it was old back then that I created it when I was 16, 15 or 16, and it might have been done before me. But the method that I use for switching a deck is to drop a card on the floor. So I pirouette a playing card, or I do some sort of flourish with a single card. I drop the card to create a natural moment of a really, really organic moment of misdirection that everybody forgets later on. And that's when I switch my decks and switch my playing cards. And it's one of those powerful tools. I can't remember if it's taught on the Switch project. I know since then other people have come up with the technique or come up with it and have claimed it as their own and said, oh, I created this a year ago, blah, blah, blah. it was there a long time before that, but it was probably there a long time before me too. But this reminds me of those scenarios. The call came in. I thought it was an awkward moment in the middle of the trick. I thought it was trick being interrupted, and then it turned into that. Really, really highest recommendation. Gary has sent me a copy actually in my emails, but I haven't gone through the process of setting it all up and stuff yet, so I can't speak to anything else about it. But I've seen it being performed out in the real world, so I know it's good. I know it works. And this is a topic for another day, but just as a side thing, for me, like I've always thought, like, as magicians, we need to embody everything to do with magic. We should make our own effects. We should repair our own effects. We should be able to improvise and write and you know, do things on the fly. I will often, like, I see a lot of reviews coming up about other people's material. I've been victim to it in the past as well, but about other people's material where somebody will review a product and they will give it a bad review because they didn't get a good reaction with it, or the quality wasn't exactly what they thought it was. I don't know whether I'm just old school or I just see things completely differently. Like, for me, and I'm not talking about this app, right, or anything, but my only experience of this effect is that it was performed to me and it blew me away. I see it performed to other people and it blew them away. Nothing else really matters to me then. My review of that is that it's perfect, or, you know, theoretically perfect. If it can be performed and get good reactions, nothing else really matters in terms of a magic review. That's why I say, like, a lot of magic reviewers out there, only the ones that perform the effect in their review are really the only ones that I can give any credence to whatsoever, because the deciding factor for me, or the important factor in any magic product, is can it be performed? Have you performed it? And does it get good reactions? It's really the only thing that matters. I know some things are like, if you're buying like a strictly like a utility device, and it's got to have like certain things that don't necessarily have a crossover with reactions. But yeah, by and large, so I can't speak too much to the app. I do have, Gary's very kindly off, because I was like, Harry, this is amazing, blah. He asked Gary to send me one over. I haven't gone through the whole process yet, so I can't speak to the build and everything. But also, I'm not a match reviewer. All I'm telling you is that I've seen it out in the real world, and it's dope. There you go. You're welcome. Next thing in the magic caviar section, and this is just basically bringing up something which I've mentioned twice already in the past two episodes, but now I have the website for it, which is Mark Elsden's A Metabolic Fig. The website, because I know people were asking, where can we sign up? I said, it's the best newsletter in all of magic. Mark Elsden's ametabolicfig.com. So I'll spell it out for you if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever. ametabolicfig.com. ametabolicfig.com. I've talked about it in the past previous episodes. I wasn't sure what the web address was. Should have done my research. Again, I keep saying this. I'm telling you, it's the best newsletter in all of magic. It's a, and you've got to sign up for it. And you do have to pay for it, right? The subscription is £20 a month or £5 a week. And you get one email a week. It tells you the best magic products out there. It tells you Mark's thinking behind them. It also gives you a list of all these interesting things that are like quasi-related to magic, things to do with science and arts, and links to documentaries that are just mysterious and all other things. I cannot recommend it enough. I know some people might go, £20 a lot. It literally is the best thing in magic. I have no affiliation with Mark. I'm not sponsored by Mark. I don't get anything for this, but I wanted to shout it out this time to tell you exactly where to go to get it. And I have to stress, I am, aside from loving Mark and being literally in awe of his brilliance, same with Gary Cross's Unexpected Delivery. I've met him once at Blackpool. He's kindly sent me a copy that I haven't even set up yet because I've been crazy busy with the releases of Savant Deck. But this is called the Magic Caviar section. This is unaffiliated magic reviews or bringing to you what I think is dope in magic. I'm not deep diving it. I just saw it, think it's cool. Same with the Metabolic Fig. It's great. So that's the Metabolic Fig, the Gary Cross's Unexpected Delivery. And then one more thing, and I just want to have a quick look to see if I can find a web page for it. Let me just see if it's on here. Now, this one is pricey, right? This is a really a pricey effect. But I saw it on Magicians Only, and I'd actually seen it performed live not so long ago. So I'm going to try and bring up this screen here. It's on illusionary.com. So illusion, so spell the word illusion, A-R-Y at the end. Oh, actually, it's .co. It's .co. Illusionary.co. And it's actually a protected web page, but the effect is called Dictionary by Carl Foreman. It's a $300 effect. And you have to, so this page, you have to enter your password. I seen a performance of it, a really, really good performance of it on Magicians Only, the Facebook page on Magicians Only. And I actually saw Charlie Hewish do this some time ago. I think it was at the London Magic Convention the year before last. So 18 months ago. And the method has some loose crossover with something from J. Keen. I won't name that effect purely because if I don't want to spoil any methods, just out of respect for both creators. But it's the type of thinking and magic that I love. And the reason why Charlie was showing us this is because he's like, because Jake's showing him his. Jake's is brilliant. And he's, I've been doing something which has a tie-in method-wise here, and they, everyone's cool about it. There's no ill will. And I thought it'd be cool to show, to sort of highlight to you what this is. Again, I know the creator. I know Charlie. I think I know Carl Foreman. But I have no affiliation. Don't get paid for this. I don't even have a copy. But I've seen it live. So I can attest how good it is. I've seen it performed. And the performance, a really good performance of it on the streets of like New York, it seemed like. And on Magicians Only. I wonder if I can pull that performance up somewhere on here. Let me see. Can I search? It's a really good street performance, and I'll tell you what the effect is. So, nope, turns out I can't. Try again. Let me search this again. Maybe it was in the Magic Apps group. Maybe it was in the Magic Apps group. I bet those of you listening on Spotify are having a brilliant time listening to me bumble my way through this part of the Magic Caviar section. But oh, okay, hey, here we go. Kevin Klein. Oh, Kevin. So where do I see Kevin Klein then? Kevin Hamden. All right. Here we go. I'm gonna do this right now. I'm gonna move my video to the side on YouTube. This is Kevin Hamden on the streets of some American or Canadian city performing Dictionary.
Do you have your phone with you?
Yes.
I want to try to guess a word from you, kind of test conditions. Take your phone out, go to, what's the dictionary site online? What's that called, dictionary.com? Okay, go to dictionary.com.
Dictionary.com?
Yeah. Cool, right? Thank you. Yeah, now I want to see how you think. I'm going to look something up, I want you to try to read me.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to see potentially if you can guess it. If not, don't worry. Now I'm gonna look something up. You're gonna try to guess what it is, okay? But if I were to type in, and I'll show your friend. Okay, this is what I'm thinking of. We'll see if she can guess it. I see that word? Yeah. Don't say it.
Okay.
If you have to shot in the dark, what word do you think I have in my head? Shot in the dark. Whatever.
Okay, I'm gonna go wild, like saying like reverse or something.
No. Okay, I went library. Library, you know, because we're okay. It's fine. We'll do this. I'll delete this.
Okay.
I want you to type in any word. But a word that holds some value to you, a word that has some meaning,
okay.
Type it in and then search it. Okay. Once you search it, give me a clear yes.
It's really hard.
And hit search. Good, yes?
No, it's
what happened?
This is not.
Let's see. Oh, okay, you know what? It says not found. Okay, you know what? Swipe away, it's fine. Swipe on, that's fine. Lock the phone. We'll do it a bit different. Yeah, you can put it away. That's fine. I guess maybe the internet cut out. Okay.
I don't know. It says.
Okay. Okay, you know, we'll do it a bit different. I'm going to take you through a journey.
Okay. Yeah.
I want you now to think of how that word relates to you, okay?
Okay?
Now, see, the moment I said that your eyes started to water, this is something that holds an emotional connection to you. I feel as though this holds actually a lot of love in your heart.
Okay.
Almost like a person, but not really. Am I right in saying that? Yeah. Did you go for a pet? Yeah? In your mind, say the name. In your mind? Ella.
What?
Yeah, so as you can see there, hopefully you all can kind of understand what happened. If you can't, I'll just very quickly explain. So you ask someone to bring out their phone, you're going to search for a word in the dictionary, they're going to try to read your mind first. Well, go just get a stab in the dark, see if you're on the same, we think on the same wavelength. They either get it right or they don't. In this case, they didn't. I don't know if you can force that to be right, but from what I know, I don't know, right? But you can get it right. It doesn't matter. It's like, hey, whatever. Then you say, no, I'm going to try and read your mind. Go ahead and search for something. They do. And in this performance, the phone didn't even work, right? Put the phone away. And he's like, okay, we're just going to try and do this. Mentally, just try and like think about it, send it to me, and you nail it. This to me is Magic Caviar. This is Magic Caviar in every sense of the word. It's the reason why I'm so reluctant to share the name of the thing Jake did because of the crossover in methods, and I don't want to expose what's happening with this one, but this is the type of magic that uses a phone that I absolutely adore, and it uses it in the best way possible. And the reason why this is so strong is because it's a non-moment. And really, these type of phone effects can't go wrong. I absolutely, 100%, on more than one occasion, have had apps fail me when I've needed to pair or sync my phone with the spectators secretly. So if I for other effects out there, and there are many by many different creators, in some of these methods, you need to have them go to a website, and you would then need to somehow sync your phone to theirs in order to get the peak information. These two apps work nothing like that. They're almost static apps, whereas like the ones where you have to pair, they're like, I think of them as like dynamic apps, where they have to like sort of almost like you. There's a risk, and I wish there wasn't, and I wish I could say those apps are the best, but they're a risk, and you always have to do like an extra step to the process, which can be risky. With these, as long as they can open a website, that's it. That's all you need. You don't need your phone. You don't peek with your phone or anything. It's completely self-contained with them, and they're much more streamlined, much more direct, much faster. And I think I can say that with experience. I think I'm qualified to say that. I've been doing magic apps for. It makes me old, right? I have my own magic apps. I've got almost every magic app out there, or the main ones. These are if you're going to do like a word prediction, and the thing like Jake does, this is the type of method which is, in my opinion, superior to almost all others. This type of thing really, really has so little chance of going wrong comparatively. Every trick can go wrong. Every single trick in that you cross cut force. I've seen people fuck that up, right? Every single trick in the world can go wrong. So I'm talking about within context. Within context, these versions, these effects, or these methods, the same that Jake uses, the same that's used in this, have so little chance of going wrong that it makes you bulletproof when you perform. It's always good, like they say, like when you warm your audiences up, right? When you first open up a set, do the tricks that you know you can't fuck up, right? Do the tricks that you've done your 10,000 hours with. I also believe it's the same for magic apps too. Not all apps, right? But if you're gonna hinge the big part of your performance or a key crescendo to your stage routine on a magic app, which is okay to do. I know some people say, oh, they never rely on electronics in any way, shape, or form, blah, blah, blah. I'm the opposite. I'm fine with it. But you do need to pick and choose which electronics, which apps you're going to use, which are the ones which are almost guaranteed not to fail. For example, with this one, they qualify not just themselves, but they qualify the fact that the app is almost 100% going to work the moment they open up the dictionary website in this one, right? That's it. As long as they can do that, they finally come up on stage and it can be built into a giant thing, whatever. See the reactions it gets. For me, again, like I just said, I know some magicians stooge their audiences for trailers. I'd never do that. I think it's disgusting. You don't need to. If the trick isn't good, don't release it. You can see these performance reactions. They're real. You can always tell an actor compared to someone who's real. These are real reactions. For me, I don't have it. I've seen it. I know how it works. I don't have it. I don't really need to know the quality of it because I see the quality of the reactions. But again, with the price tag being at $300, was it? And also being on illusionary.co by Mustafa. Mustafa does the best product. He does the glyphs machines. His Raid Man app is fucking phenomenal. I even did a fuller episode on that when I first started my channel. Everything Mustafa does is top quality. So this comes with a heavy price tag. And this is the interesting thing about price tags, right? I know the method. Jake's effect is one, I don't know what, let me see what that works out. Jake's effect is like 12 times cheaper, and now, you know, 12 is 12 times cheaper, very similar in effect, but it does sort of one thing where this reveals a word, Jake's reveals something else. However, I think price tag is largely irrelevant, because unless it's like 10 grand or 3,000 pounds or whatever, this is the type of trick that I would perform every single day. It's you're revealing a thought of word, and as far as they're concerned, they didn't even search it, right? So this is the beauty of a method like this. They don't associate it with the phone. The phone's completely removed from their mind because it didn't even work when they searched it, right? So to the audience, that's why the reaction is so good. The audience, they thought of a word, you revealed it, and it's the type of trick that is almost guaranteed to never fail. The only way it fails if suddenly the phone networks went out at that moment in time and they couldn't do something. But even then, it's just not going to fail. To have a ultra clean word, thought of word revelation, what's that in pounds? Like 200 pounds? You're probably going to do this trick. If you're buying this with the intention of actually doing it, you're going to love the method. It gets great reactions. It's pretty much fail-safe. What's that, 200 pounds? It's less than a quid a day or less than a dollar a year. And this is, you're probably going to perform this for, I mean, it's only, you know, you're probably going to, if they keep it up, because, you know, apps sometimes, and I doubt it with Mustafa, I very highly doubt he would let this go out of date. Probably going to do this for 10 years. This, I don't see phones going out of people's possessions. The type of effect is a time-tested effect. Think of a word. I'm going to reveal it. It doesn't go wrong. You probably are going to do this for the next at least 5 to 10 years. I know the one of Jake's. I've been doing that every single chance I get, because it's a mentalism trick. So I pick when I do mentalism. I pick when I do magic. If I'm doing mentalism, I absolutely do Jake's every single time without fail. So that's like 3 years already, 2 or 3 years for whatever, for Jake's there with me. You're going to be doing this for a long time. $300 is a drop in the ocean. So I this again, it goes in my magic caviar section of today's episode. And I have no affiliations with this. I have absolutely no affiliations with this whatsoever. So that's magic caviar. I figured this is kind of like self-serving. I don't think I should be talking about my own stuff here, but I do. If you may or may not know, I have my own Patreon. And if you follow my YouTube channel, I give away basically 95% of all my creations completely for free. So every magic trick I think up, and I think it's every magic idea I have, which is my own idea, not anyone else's, and it forms together into a piece of magic, I teach it free on YouTube. It's a way of me being philanthropic. From back a couple of years ago, I had a really bad toxic job and I was forced to basically monetize every idea I had, and I felt like all my artistic integrity had been flushed down the drain. I then decided to start a YouTube channel and try and give back, to try and go some way towards redeeming myself, just for my soul. So 95% of my material I give away completely for free on my YouTube channel. And some of it is, you know, some of it's pretty cool, I think. The best material, though, the stuff, like, those secrets are okay to teach, I think, right? But there's some things that I create which are just, in my head, they're my own magic caviar. They're my gold standard material that I just don't want to give away for free. Or they cost me money to make. Well, I'm obsessed with any card, any number. When we were creating the Atomic deck, we came up with this idea for the website. And I said, guys, it'd be so cool to do a, this is like 3 or 4 years ago, whatever it was. It'd be so cool to do a version of the Atomic deck with this special site that uses a regular deck. And so that's basically something that I've been working on behind the scenes, chipping away at. And I have this, what I believe, because it's mine, so I'm backing myself, But I think it's a fucking awesome version of the ACAN. You can use one of four stacks if you want. And essentially it's this. I'll talk about it super briefly and then I'm going to shut up. And if you want to, just skip to the next section where I'm going to teach you a cool thing which was not taught on the Savant Deck project. But just to keep it brief. And everything has to make sense, right? So it's really important that this effect, this ACAN, all the ACANs that I do have to be real world and they have to make sense. They're not just arbitrary. So I'll explain to you the performance. And I think there's going to be a fuller episode going up with Kaylee seeing it. We filmed it yesterday for the Patreon tutorial, but I'll probably put the performance on my channel. So if you want to see what it looks like being performed, then you'll see Kaylee's genuine, honest reaction to it. But this is it essentially. You say, look, to a person. If I was to ask you to name a number between 1 and 52, what would it be? And they say, whatever. And then I say, okay, let's say it's like, I think in Kaylee's case, she said 14, right? I said 14. Now, look, I have no idea why you picked 14. And do you have any idea why you picked it? In Kaylee's case, she had no idea. She's like, actually, no, I'm trying to make it random. Because the reality is, and this is genuine, people can be influenced by numbers all around them. Every moment of every day, it could be the last house door number that they walked past and looked at. So, I'll say 14. It could be the bus number they saw recently. It could be the day of the month they were born. It could be the age of their kid. It could be literally a trillion different pieces of information they've seen throughout their entire lifetime that brought them to that moment to spout out 14. So, you say that. You say, now look, that was a random number. If I was to ask you to name a random, one of the random 52 playing cards, it's the same choice, you think. But the reality is, as a magician especially, I can actually take a much more of an educated guess as to what you would pick, mainly because of some basic psychology and pop culture. And although it seems like equal as a fair choice of numbers, it's actually dramatically reduced a lot less. Because if there's a crowd of you here and you all were asked to just think of a playing card in your mind or let a few different cards go through your mind, if I stop you now and say, who here, at least out of all of you, at least at some point either thought of it or it went through your mind to think of an ace of spades, queen of hearts, seven of hearts, ace of hearts, or like a jack of spades, you will, if you've got a big crowd of people, a few of them will put their hands up. Normally like about 2/3 will have either landed on one of those cards or it would have crossed their mind. You say, isn't that bizarre? Because with numbers, all of you would have had a completely different number. And I wouldn't have been able to, I would not have guessed at least 2/3 of you. But with playing cards, look at the results. And that's because we don't think of random cards in our day-to-day life. We don't see a random two of diamonds on the street. We don't see a random 10 of spades on the street corner or on the back of a car. We tend to just see the same ones. Queen of Hearts in Alice in Wonderland or in books. We see ace of spades in songs or on tattoos. There are favorable numbers like sevens. And people tend to think of the heart suit, but they don't think of the clubs because hearts are a recognizable symbol. But what the hell is a club symbol about? And because of that, it helps me make an informed, educated guess as to what playing cards most people would think of. Makes sense? Everyone says, yeah, actually makes perfect sense. You say, look, I want to show you something that I don't want you to think when you go home, now that you understand this. Well, yeah. It was only actually, even though he said any card, it was only really 1 in 5. So go to this website, and all this website is used for is brain training. It spits out cards randomly, and people use it like if they want to get better at card counting or just better brain training. They try and memorize as many cards in order as they can, and then they can test themselves. We're not going to do that. We're just going to use it to show you random cards that you wouldn't have thought of your own volition, and I want you to settle on one that you like, that you're confident that I wouldn't have just been able to take an educated guess that you would have thought of. So they do. They go through all these random playing cards. They don't put in a random number. They just literally cycle through random playing cards. And this is the interesting part. Once they found what they like, this is the bit that gets magicians. I showed it to Craig Petty the other day in Cardiff, and he was like, he tried to fuck me on it. And this is for me the magic caviar part of it. This is the part that he was like, God damn. When they get a card in mind, you then say, all right, cool. Now, the annoying thing is lay people don't tend to. They think that when you ask them to change their mind, they think that you want them to. So they try to push against it. But for magicians or people that have an understanding of magic, they tend to do the opposite. But it's kind of annoying because the coolest feature of this is that they can actually go ham and go and change as many times as they want. But the most, for the most part, they don't. But anyway, so like I said to Craig, I'm with Kaylee. Do you like that card? Both of them were like, nope. And with most things that exist out there like this, you kind of, you know, maybe they can change their mind one more time on the card or not. I say, do you like that card? No. Okay, change your mind. Okay. And then with this, I call it the infinite A-can. I say, and you can change it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And they can, you just get like this, what feels like infinite freedom to change their mind over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until they settle on a card that they are like, right, okay, yeah, I literally, this is what they're thinking, their thought process is like, literally, I genuinely could have thought of any of these cards, the whole deck. This is in their mind. And that's it. And then in Katie's case, she pulls the cards out. I also give her another choice where I said join love from top to bottom. She ended up, seeing the video, but anyway, she ended up dealing with 14 cards and the 10 of hearts was exactly the bureau way. I will say, it's, you know, there is a method to this, and sometimes the performance isn't identical, but the times when it's not identical to what happened with Kaylee, I've put the stronger performances later on, so you're future proof by being better, and also you can just default to the better version anyway, but because we're A-can connoisseurs, I do this one thing first. Kind of cryptic if you like performance, again, as I've been saying, if you like what you see the way it is, it works perfectly. You can use Mnemonica, Aronson's Eight Kings, or Stebbins. It's all self-contained on this participant's phone. You don't need to know a stack. You don't need to do any. You don't even touch the deck. You don't even touch. There's two different ways you can handle it. You can either type the URL into the participant's phone, or they can type it. But it's entirely hands-off if you want it to be. Entirely hands-off. You don't need to know stack. You don't need to do any memory work. It's just about you being able to perform it. And you get this infinite feeling of freedom. I'm biased. I love it. It's my thing. But it's on my Patreon. So if you're a full paying member, it's already up there for free. It went up yesterday. You can go and learn it and start doing it right now. For Craig liked this so much that he wanted to do a review show special on it. So I gave him... I've only ever done this once before. So there's a discount code. So it means you can go and sign up to my Patreon. Take all 50, I think it's just under or just over 50 tutorials that are the stuff that is way too good to go on YouTube. Like, for example, this Infinite A-can, way too good to be taught on YouTube. You can go and just binge them all and then dip or stay signed up to the membership. But it's 50% off. Use the discount code Craig Petty, all caps, no spaces. And you can just go and do this Infinite A-can and learn it right now. Alongside everything else. So that's this week's Magic Caviar section. I know it sounds a little self-serving and egotistical. Talk about that. I'm really hyped on it. I tend not to show too much of what's on my Patreon online. I just think it should be its own thing in the background. But I did want to point that out. And I know that a lot of people that watch my material or like watch my web shows are also like interested in the same style of magic I am. So I think it would be a bit weird if I didn't tell you about the newest magic idea that I've put out there and shared. Okay, so let's talk about what's been happening this week in magic. And mainly for me, I've just been fully absorbed in the Savant deck, the World Savant deck. You can go watch the tutorial, you can go watch the trailer, you can go watch the... Craig put up a cool video last night on his YouTube channel, which is he put up without asking. He put up a video of the live performances. So he puts up all the uncut live performances on his YouTube channel. I'm playing them silently in the background here. He uses this Savant deck to do a 20-minute set. Every trick seems completely different from the other. They're not just all counting tricks or A-can tricks. They're ones that reveal with UV lights, one's shuffle tracking, one's this mental calculations, one's a blank deck ACR finisher. And then he shows some more performances with like Magic Square and other bits and pieces. So that's 50 minutes of uncut live performances Craig's put on his YouTube channel. And then he goes back over and plays them all with a commentary track. So he talks to you about everything. I haven't even listened to it yet. But it's got 1,000 views in 15 hours, which is above average for Craig's channel. And people seem to be raving about it. So, good job, Craig. There's so much out there. There's loads and loads of reviews dropping for the Savant deck already. You can go and learn that out. But I thought I would just talk to you really quickly about a cool thing, which I didn't teach on the project. And it's this. So, let me come back to my face on the screen. And the idea is this. I don't think it's on the project, but I was thinking to myself, the trick in the trailer, the very first opening trick in the trailer is this. You hand the participant a deck to shuffle. They shuffle it until they're happy, and your back is turned the entire time. And they cut off a pile of cards from the top of the deck. They spread them face up on the table. And you apparently have the power of Rain Man to be able to turn around for 1 second and instantly calculate what all those values total up to. All right, that's the basic effect, shortened, just to be concise. And the only problem I have personally with this effect, because I performed it like sort of as direct as possible for the trailer so that it didn't go on for like 10 minutes. So I tried to do the most direct performance of it as possible. But the only problem with that is that you kind of have to be the star of the show. And often for my magic, I like either it to be in the audience's hands or for the magic to take place without my doing. So it's like, oh, I'm not the reason for this. I'm not the talent. I'm just showing you something amazing that happens if you do this. If these two things are put together, this strange thing happens. I don't know. Like, it's nothing to do with me. The problem with the Rain Man routine is that it's ultimately you are showing off your abilities, which is okay for most performers. Not really my style, but it's okay. For example, Darren Brown does it with buttons. He gets slapped. He then counts buttons really quick. I was going to say something disgusting and dirty then, but I'm not going to. And then he can do it, right? And then obviously it shows off his abilities. So I was thinking to myself, what would be a cool way of presenting this, which doesn't really so much put the focus on me? And so here's the interesting thing about it, which is that because of the method, the way the Savant deck works, is that I'm not actually calculating those cards. As soon as when the person cuts that pile of cards in the performance, it's like, okay, how many cards do you think you would estimate? And they say, I think I could cut 10 cards or whatever, any amount they want to pick a stab at. I think I could cut 11 cards. And they count, they say, oh, I cut 14. As soon as you know the total of all the cards in the pile that they've cut, right? It's a really clever method. And again, this is after they've shuffled. Really fool it if they want to. You don't have to make them shuffle. It doesn't really matter. But you instantly know. So the moment, I can't even remember in the trailer what the guy cut, but let's just say 14, right? So the moment I'm with my back turned, the moment they say 14, I now know the total of all the face values of those cards instantly. Well, this is interesting information because you can use it for one ahead. So now you could, if you wanted to, say I'm going to show you the difference between skill and mind reading. So what you could do is that you could say, I want you to cut, you know, or skill being estimating cards or mind reading. And essentially, just by boiling it down into its most basic form, you know, it's like when you do any standard one ahead. As long as you know one of the pieces of information ahead of time, then you can write that one down on the piece of paper as they tell you what they were thinking. So if I was to say, for example, and this is not fully fleshed out, but it's what you can do with it. First, I'm going to show you the difference between skill and mind reading. You're going to read my mind, and I'm going to show you some skill or something. So now you can like make them the focus, which is more impressive than you doing your bit later on. So you say, first of all, I'm going to think of a word. Oh, no. First of all, before you do anything, we'll come back to it later. Cut off some cards. So they cut off 14 cards. And don't do anything with those cards yet. We'll come back to it later. Okay. So they've got those sat on or hidden away. So you say, now we'll come back to those cards using skill in a moment. But first of all, we're going to try a piece of mind reading. You're going to read my mind, actually. So I'm going to take a piece of paper. I'm going to think of a word. What word? I'm going to write it down. And you write down now the total of all the cards on the table, right? So let's just say the total is 100, just to keep it simple. But they don't know this. So you say, I'm thinking of a word. I'm going to write it down. I now write down the total of the cards, 100. I fold it up into a square, place it on the table. Okay. So I'm going to send you that word. Okay. What do you think it is? And then they say out loud, the word is elephant. Say, and you make this face. What? All right. Okay. I think you might be better at this than I thought. Maybe they say the word spaceship, right? Let's just go for this, just to give you an example. They say the word spaceship. And you're like, oh, okay, interesting. And you're like, now I want to show you the part, this thing using skill. And you say, what I want you to do, you take those cards that you cut, shuffle them up, I'm going to turn my back, spread them all face up on the table, hand me the pen and paper. I'm going to turn around and quickly write down what I think the total is. Okay? So you go 1, 2, 3, tell me when to turn around. They do. You look at it and you write down apparently the total and fold it up. And then you say, so let's see how each of us did. You tried to read my mind. I tried to show you some skill or something in this vein. You hand them the two pieces of folded paper. They unfold either one first, doesn't matter, wink. And let's say they unfold the total first, the total says 100. They now go back to the card, say, well, look, I guessed 100, let's count them up. They go through, boom, 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 bang on, 100. And that's as you can see, that trick on its own is pretty fucking impressive. And now you say, and this is the crazy thing. I wrote down a word at the very start, before you tried to read my mind. You said that I was thinking of a spaceship. And I was close, but I wasn't exact. But I wrote down the word rocket or rocket ship. And now you've got this amazingly powerful routine where the ending of the routine isn't so much about your skill as a performer. It's about their skill. It's about them doing something they didn't believe could be done. They read your mind. And then that little throw to be just off by a little bit. So like by saying, when they say spaceship, you write rocket ship. I'm just trying to think, if they wrote, if it was elephant, if they said elephant, for example, you could say, you could write, when you're writing down the total, apparently, you could write down elephant, cross it out and put giraffe, or elephant cross lion. You know, so you're like, oh, look, I was close. I actually went for lion, but I did start. Or you could write ELEP and then cross it out and then write lion. So then at the end, you go, oh, my God, I wrote down lion, but my gut was to write down elephant and I just overthought it, which is more impressive at times because, like, oh, my God, you actually did this for real, you know? So, that's a routine that I didn't share on the Savant Deck project, but. You can use this in any context. You can use this for a million different things. It's basically just one ahead and then miss, just being off by a little bit with your reveal. But the beautiful thing is the instant fast calculations with those cards, it just seems utterly, utterly impossible on its own. Then you factor in the spectator as mind reader on top of it with the convincer, and it's a really, 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 really strong routine. So... if you like the Savant deck, or if you just like that routine and you've got another way of forcing the total of cards or anything, forcing a card, go forth and have fun with it. So that was that. we're coming up to nearly a full hour. I was going to do here how to piece together a magic lecture. I think, though, what I'll do is I'll quickly do the last four questions and I'll leave this to next week, if that's all right with everyone at home. Again, please feel free to send in to my email address, hello@loin.tv, or to my Instagram inbox, any questions that you have for next week's episode, or leave them in the comment section of this video on YouTube. Any question, listeners' questions that you have for next week. If you want to send in a voice note through email, hello@loin.tv, or a voice note through Instagram, then do that and I'll play a literal caller's question, which will be really cool to do. But for now, let's do some readers' questions to round out the show. I think it's been a pretty fun, jam-packed show this week, and we'll finish off with a couple of little quick bits and pieces before rounding it out. So on Instagram, magicandcards.com asked me the question, what are your thoughts on edge-marked cards and what tricks would you perform with them? Great question. I love edge-marked cards. Obviously, there's the butterfly playing cards. I previously tried to design my own edge-marked cards. I think they're a fascinating concept and they allow you to do some absolutely phenomenal tricks with them. My thoughts on them are, A, I think some of the most fooling card tricks I've ever seen in person are from Andrei Panishka with his butterfly cards. I'm friends with Andre. I always say his name, I really apologize. But I'm friends with him. I've seen him all over the world, buck-shouldered him all over the world. Every time I see him, he shows me something that fries me using his butterfly playing cards. And I think he's the master of them. And when used in the correct way like he does, the things you can do are unobtainable by any other methods. So they're phenomenal. What trick would I do with them? For me, my favorite thing that's done with them, and I think this is possible with them, is to have a deck shuffled, a card taken out by the audience, card taken out, and then you can know what that card is. And I like that. And I think you can do that with like multiple cards possibly as well. But for me, that's what I like, to boil things down to their most basic but most powerful form to get like the concentrated synergy from something. For me, that's one of the most powerful things to do is to have a card taken from a shuffled deck and know what it is in that context. So that's the type of thing that I would personally do with it. I would also use an edge mark deck for estimation work. So I like a lot of estimation work. I like to have a card selected, put back in, shuffled by the audience, and just be able to take an estimated guess, educated guess at where it is from how I could see it, and then sort of riff on it from there. So that's the kind of stuff I would do with it. The only issues I have with edge mark decks is just the same. When I say this in the loosest terms, but it's just the same issues I have with marked decks, which is the hardest thing about performing with a marked deck is remembering to bring it with you. Because realistically, I only really like red white cards. That's just a personal preference thing. So I only ever tend to just use like just a standard brick from Costco. So the only thing that holds back any cards for me that are marked is just having that deck on me at all times. I have seen now that they've done the edge mark bicycle cards by Butterfly, which is sick. So they look like a marble sort of vintage card design, which I'm using the rider back, but the edge of it is white and they're marked. So that's phenomenal. I definitely will pick a pack of those up. But yeah, that's my thoughts on edge mark cards. They are a powerful tool. It's just like, the thing I think about them is that we all have these tools. There are things like invisible decks, stripper decks, Svengali decks, edge mark decks, marked decks, decks that are in stack, decks that are in semi-stack. And it's just about picking what tool you want to use for that day. But yeah, ultimately, I think they're a fascinating, fascinating device. And there's miracles you can do with them. And absolutely. I genuinely love edge mark cards. There are certain gaff decks out there that I don't like at all. And these are not one of them. I love edge mark playing cards. And I should probably pick some up. I probably should pick some up right now. next question is, and this is kind of in line with the topic of the day, which was, or one of the topics of the Magic Musings. The question is from KingBK_11, which was, how do you go about planning a first time magic show? And I haven't done a magic show. I've seen a lot. And it's so much easier to critique than it is to create. But there are some fundamental things which have an overlap with magic lectures as well, which I think you could immediately start doing for a magic show to think about. I think it's always good to have an overarching theme. And I always think it's good to have callbacks. So you should potentially have a theme for your show or a through thread. I think it's important to start the show with something like this, not this, or it could be, but like, this is an envelope. This is a briefcase. Inside it is something important. We're going to come back to this at the end, and you put it at the end. So you set the big finisher far in advance in some way, shape, or form. It doesn't have to be a master prediction thing. I know that's the most common thing people go for. Get creative with it. But I think it's always good to start the show with this is going to happen later. I think a lot of issues with people with their magic shows and their lectures as well is that they will not consider where they are. So I see lecturers come in and they will do their entire magic lecture not knowing about the venue, and they'll do all of it as card stuff on the table where the audience are all sat at the same level as them and can't see the cards. So I think it's really important to think about your framing. For my lecture at Blackpool, for example, I opened up, the whole thing, I asked ahead of time, where would I be? If I was going to be sat down at a table, then I would have done a completely different lecture. But it turns out I was on a stage in the arena. So all of my material was head height, and all of it was done in this frame of my head, like a snapshot. So nothing was done on the tabletop. Unless there was one part I had an overhead camera for, but I planned it in advance, I believe. It's gone back like 2 or 3 years now. But the same goes for a magic show. You know, you can, like, for example, I know certain magicians will go on stage on a magic show and do 2-card Monty. And I've seen this happen. Literally seen this happen. They'll do 2-card Monty on stage where they're positioned higher up than the audience, so the audience can see under the cards. So I think things like that are important to take into consideration. I think, so like open the show, like very basic stuff. Open the show with like, we're going to come back to this at the end. So set them up. Start off with one or two quick pieces that are going to A, allow people to shuffle to their seats, get into their seats and make a bit of noise as they settle into the show. So stuff that doesn't need people's full concentration. So maybe some visual pieces. Then you want to hold people's attention for something impossible. Maybe you start a bit of a story, a slower piece. And for that, I would encourage, it doesn't have to be that they can see the table, but just encourage sitting down to differentiate that imagery on stage. You don't want to be stood in the same place at all time. You want to use that stage in different ways so that they're seeing different visual snapshots. Maybe you're standing over here with rope and a scissors. Then another time you're doing something completely different over here with a balloon and a knife, and you're creating little imagery snapshots. Then for a slower part of the show, you want to be seated and create a mystery. And this is a moment for everyone to take a breath so they're not constantly being overwhelmed. And then I feel other people, I think it's like Jeff McBride, or it's like a sonic boom. Halfway, 3/4 into your show, do something loud and get everyone's attention and snap them back in the room, because people will drift off. You want to set up some gags that call back, so, or moments, maybe not necessarily gags, but something happens at the start of the show visually and it call back to it later on. That's like I helped Harry Harrington with his upcoming thing that he's doing. Oh, I nearly slipped up there. And then finish by calling back to your big finish at the end. But I think it's really important to think about a long time in advance. Where are you going to be? How many people, how many rows back do these people go? Can they hear you? Can they see you? Are they looking down at you? Are they looking up at you? Those are some of the things that people, most magicians, for example, when they do magic lectures, even magic shows, the average magician that doesn't do this very often will just think, what are the best tricks I can show? And I think, for me at least anyway, That really was one of the last questions when I was constructing my Blackpool lecture, which was considered a bit of a show. I had all screens and projectors and everything. For me, it wasn't really about the tricks. Were one of the last things I put in. I thought about, right, where am I? How will they hear me? How will they perceive me? How much time do I have? And then it was like, okay, now what can I do here? What part am I gonna? Is the audience gonna come to a natural lull? How can I snap them out of that natural lull? How can I have a big ending? This, that, and the other. And then the tricks were sprinkled in between it. So when it comes to a magic show and a magic lecture, it's kind of the same thing. We spend so much time hyper-focusing on the tricks that we forget about the important stuff. I've been to many good magic lecturers and I've got some great tricks, but I've completely forgot them because I couldn't see them do the tricks. I couldn't hear them do the tricks. They did the best trick at the moment where there's a natural lull, or they didn't have all the audience's attention, so it fell flat and it was bypassed. This is the stuff that is so often overlooked. And I think this is actually the stuff you put first on your list and then you fill it with the tricks afterwards. So hopefully that answers the question, at least from my point of view. CJ Penders asks, has there ever been a trick you just could not do? Yes, the clip shift. I have wanted to be able to do the clip shift since the day I first saw it. I think it was like Jordan Lappin did it 2 or 3 years before it was ever released as a project. I know it was created by Chad Long, but underground, like all the Buck Twins and everyone was able to do it. I just think it's one of the most powerful utilities for a card move. And I have practiced, I have the DVD, I have practiced that move more than any other move in magic. And there is a short circuit in both my brain and my hand muscles for whatever reason that I will never, ever, ever, ever be able to do it. And I've literally sat down with some of the best practitioners of the clip shift in the world, apart from Chad Nelson. And they have talked me through it 1,000 times. I cannot do it. Devastates me that I can't do it. And that's it. I'm gutted. I'm trying to think if there's another trick that I could not do. That's like the big one. And the other one I'll tell you is the muscle pass. I cannot muscle pass. Straight up cannot muscle pass. And I absolutely love it. Can't muscle pass a coin. And I've tried 20 odd years. And then the last one is from Corey Sakura, who asks, my question is, do you want to come on the podcast, brother? And he has the podcast. Let me just double check the name here. He has the podcast that I have been speaking back and forth. It is the podcast at the card table. The Magic Podcast at the card table. He's the host of the podcast at the card table. And Corey asked me, would I like to be a guest on it? I've come back and said, yes, I would absolutely love to come on that podcast with you. And so that was the final question. Probably I should have reordered the questions and put that at the beginning. So we're going to make that happen. So if you go in, actually, if you're not listening to the podcast at the card table, now is a perfect time to go and follow it, because it is on Instagram. Go to @PATCT_UK. So that stands for podcast at the card table _UK. So PATCT_UK. And looks like having some great company. He's got he's got Jeremy Griffiths, Los Angeles, one of my dear friends, Jamie Dawes, Alexander Marsh on there. Michael Murray, Mark James is on there. Who else? James Went, fellow Welshman. James Went is on here. Harry Lucas, I'm like one of the first people on here with these guys. I instantly feel inferior. So unless my anxiety gets the better of me, I would be on that podcast ASAP. Oh, what a jam-packed episode of 108.9 Trapdoor Radio. Thank you all for tuning in. This was cathartic. Thanks for doing it. I've been thinking, I kind of want a cool hat that says 108.9 on there. I don't know, maybe I'll make one. Maybe I'll make a cool bit of 108.9 merch for non-profit as well. These websites, like, what are they called? Printful, I think, where they just handle everything. So, I don't know, just for the sake of having a cool hat and maybe a cool t-shirt, let me know if you guys would be interested in having a 108.9 hat or a 108.9 Trapdoor Radio kind of cool hat or a t-shirt. I think one would look pretty badass. If you would, I'll put a design together and then upload it to a site that we can all just get it from. It wouldn't be for any monetary gain, but it would be cool to kind of rep one if you're one of the listeners so far. But let me know, please let me know if you'd be interested in doing that. I kind of feel like this black hat's a bit boring. It has nothing on it. Yeah. Guys, girls, dolls, dogs, cats, annoyed partners all over the world that have been forced to listen to this on their commutes to work or their commutes home from work or in the background of your kitchen, wherever you are, late night radio streaming to you through your ears, the sawdust from my brains being scraped into your skull cavities. But it's been Lloyd Barnes. This has been a great week. It's been a fun week. If you have any questions for next week, I would love to hear them. Drop them down in the comments or Instagram me or email them to me. One thing is that if you think there's any content you want me to feature in next week's episode, either it be in like the magic caviar section of the show, or if there's some magic news happening, whether it's a new magic TV show or some magic drama you want to hear my insights on, then please feel free to bring that to my attention in some way, shape, or form. The most guaranteed way to get it in front of me is through my email, hello@lloyd.tv, hello@lloyd.tv. Just put the subject line, Trapdoor Radio, and then I'll know it's just specifically for this show. And you might want to share a new product with me. You might want to share a new interesting piece of media, quasi relative to magic, you want to get the thoughts on. If it's a listener's question, that would be dope. You can send it voice notes, whatever you want to do. Send it through to me, and we'll do it in the next week's episode. But until next week, folks, I've been Lloyd Barnes. This has been 108.9 Trapdoor Radio. And I can't wait to be beamed into your eardrums. Same time, same place next week. Peace.
There's a beginning. And then that.
You're listening to 108.9 FM. Adjust your frequencies, fine-tune your mind and brains as you prepare to fall through the trap.
The universe.